The influence of mothers. 1 Timothy 5:14. Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. It was in 1907 that Anna J. Jarvis suggested that a day be set aside to honor motherhood. Within 4 years, every state, Canada, Latin America, and parts of Africa were observing this occasion. In the year 1912, Mother's Day International Association was formed, and on May 18, 1914, Congress officially designated the day a national festival. On May the 9th, 1914, President Wilson called for the people of the United States to display flags as a symbol of love and reverence for the mothers of our nation. Mothers in the Bible have had an influence upon people. Mothers of today have influence upon their families. I think of the mother Hannah, who was an influence in prayer. Remember in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, Hannah had no children. We had a Sunday school lesson just recently in the quarterly on this occasion on Hannah. And if you remember, in Jewish customs and in history, that every woman was desirous of a son, remembering the promise that goes way back to Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman would be the Messiah. And every mother in Israel was hoping that the child that was born to her would be that Messiah. Not having a child, she went up to the temple and she prayed. We talked this morning about intercessory prayer. Hannah was interceding with God for a son. And in the 19th and 20th verses of that chapter, we see the answer to that, and a child was given to Hannah. There's something very important with that. Hannah dedicated her child to God. She said, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. I wonder how many mothers have dedicated their children and say, Lord, this child is yours. I have heard mothers say, and mothers have said to me, that they would do everything possible to keep their sons out of the ministry. They wanted something that they say better for their children. A woman in one of the churches that I just recently pastored said, my son has expressed the desire to go to Oregon Bible College, but I am discouraging him in every way I can. And I said, why? Well, she said, he might go to Oregon Bible College and marry somebody, and they would go off to California or some way away from home, and I want this boy to be right here in this city. I wonder how many people, I hope we don't have people, that when our young people say, well, I want to go to Oregon Bible College, and if the college is close to here, as it might be, then they wouldn't be so far away. But I wonder if we have people who say, I don't want them to go into the ministry. The mothers who should influence with devotion, like Ruth. Remember, she was devoted to her mother-in-law, Naomi. When they went back to the promised land, Orpah and Ruth went back with their mother-in-law, and they were put to a test. Naomi said, "Now go, you could go on back. I'm too old, and I can't have any children that would be you could marry." And Orpah went back, but Ruth said that she would stay with her mother-in-law, and wherever her mother-in-law went, she would go, and her God would be her God. God rewarded that devotion. Remember, Ruth married Boaz, and was a kinsman, and a child was born to Ruth, and Boaz, who came in the line of Jesus Christ. The mothers that should be interested in the word, like Mary. In Luke 10:39, and she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She chose the good part. Remember, Martha was concerned with entertaining and all that went along with it, getting the food prepared. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard the word. In Luke 10:42, Jesus said, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Mothers and fathers too, spend time reading and studying the Word of God. I know we live in an age when everything is moving fast, things pile in upon us, and we say we don't have time. But you know the old saying, we have time for anything that we want to do. And that is very true. We need to make time for the Word. Mary was rewarded for her devotion to the Word. And of course, Martha was rewarded too when their brother died and Jesus came and raised Lazarus from the dead. Mothers can be an influence with the decisions that they make, like Rebecca. Her decision was a right decision. In Genesis 24:58, "And they called Rebecca and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Her decision was a decision for life, and it was a decision that brought blessing not only to Rebecca, but all down to the family. Mothers also should influence by faith, like the Queen of Sheba in 1 Kings, the first chapter. She came to see all that she heard about Solomon, and through faith she heard, through faith she came, and through faith she went back and witnessed. Women have always had a big part in the work of God. Some of our churches today that are prosperous churches were begun by women. I think of the Macomb Church, that women gathered together and they held true. People came down from Oregon and preached for them. Met in lodge halls, met in the hotel one time, and met in an old abandoned carpet factory. But they held on, and they kept holding on until they were able to build a church. And then they built this basement of it, held services there. Brother Madison's acquainted with their work. I was pastor. Came pastor after they built the auditorium. And that church grew. And they outgrew that little building. And now they have a nice big church and a good park at Macomb. And it is still prosper. These women who were in Macomb, Ripley was a little town down the way that has no future, nothing there. There was one grocery store. I don't know whether it is even there. And the young people come up to Macomb to get work. And these women were concerned about these young people, that they might get out of the faith because there was no church there. And they did everything possible to get a church, and they got the church. And the young people stayed in the church. And today it's a prosperous church. So women can do something. Women can pray. We were discussing in Sunday school about the value of prayer. And a suggestion came up that maybe we should set a night aside, maybe once a month, and have the people come to the church, not for Bible study, not for preaching, but for praying. We have needs, but God is able to move, and God is able to answer prayer. But we need to pray, and we need to make these things a part of prayer. I know if we called an one more service for prayer, that it might be a sacrifice. But we're not going to get anything from God unless we are willing to sacrifice. He's not just going to hand it into our laps. So let us pray and let us think about these things and let us get into action. There was a woman by the name of Lydia, and she was one of the first converts in outside of the Bible land. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, and she heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. This woman, in a country off from Israel, opened her heart to the gospel as she heard it, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there," and she constrained him. This woman not only opened her heart, but she opened her home and told these people. Now, they were probably strangers to them, and I've heard people say, right here in our congregation, we had a man and a woman come down through here when we were down at the parsonage. Brother and sister Vivian McGaw. I heard about them. We had never met them. And they wanted to see the church and the parsonage. It was a Saturday afternoon. We showed them around, and then I said, "Are you in a hurry to get on your road?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, stay with us overnight, and you can go to the church service." And they said, "Oh, that'd be fine." And they stayed overnight. They came to church here in the morning. Then they took us out for dinner, and they went on their way. And we were telling somebody about this. And they said, "Oh, you took those people in your house, and you never knew them?" I said, "Well, they were Church of God people. And as long as they're Church of God people, our house is always going to be open. And what we have, we will entertain them." Mothers should also be an influence in worship. It's usually, of course, it's the mothers that are at the services and more faithful in the church services than the men. The ideal is for families to come to church together. There's one thing I've noticed since we came back, and since some of you young people that are out here in the congregation and taking part in the church were just little when I came here, but we have noticed that the families that came to church together and came on Wednesday night and got their children into the youth work and sent their children to Southeast Camp and the International Camp, they're the ones that are active in the church today. And those who didn't do those things are the ones whose children are not active. A number of people, 100 or more people, were baptized while I was here. And many of them were young people. But this morning, there's quite a few of them that are missing. So you younger people that have children coming on, keep them exposed to the church and to the truth. And if the Lord tarries, we pray that they may be active also.